Hey, it's Sean Fennessy, one of the hosts of the Prestige TV podcast. HBO's Barry is back for a fourth and final season, and that means I'll be back recapping the show with co-creator and star Bill Hader to dive deep on the themes, scenes, and major moments in the series. Bill will provide insight into how every episode was made and why it's ending. New Prestige TV Barry recaps will go live every Sunday night when the episode ends, so make sure you're subscribed to the Prestige TV podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Cars.com. When you add your car to your garage on Cars.com, you'll unlock access to real-time insights into how much your car is worth. Plus, view its historical and projected value to decide when to sell. So when the time is right, you can secure an instant offer from a local dealership or sell it yourself on Cars.com. Start tracking your car's value with your garage on Cars.com. This episode is brought to you by Vuori. I love sports. I know you do too. I also know that lots of you exercise, but if you're like me and my wife, the beloved sports gal, you're sick and tired of ugly, uncomfortable workout gear. Especially, you know, I do a lot of walking. I walk around LA. I make calls. I listen to podcasts. Here are two words that will change everything. Vuori clothing, a line of activewear that is unbelievable. The best thing about Vuori is you can lounge around in it. You can work out in it. You can go outside. You can go shopping down in your local, wherever. And you never feel like you're either underdressed or overdressed. You're just comfortable. You can wear it when you're training, traveling, lounging around the house. Go get yourself some of the most comfortable and versatile clothing on the planet. Here's the deal. Our listeners get 20% off their first purchase at Vuori.com/Simmons. Once again, Vuori.com/Simmons.
Listeners, welcome. This is Sound Only. I'm Justin Cherry.
And I'm Mike Peters.
We're your Sound Only co-hosts, here to record our deepest, darkest thoughts about the brave new world, the millennial lifestyle, and beyond. Hip-hop, R&B, AI hip-hop, AI R&B, computers, Putin. Real Drake singles, fake Drake singles, who can say? Tales from the Crypt. Okay, I'm done with the intro.
Yeah, I think that you should keep spinning this yarn, you know. But yes, we're going to talk about the good new Drake single that was gazumped by the fake Drake single just a little bit, you know. About that video where he was wearing the, in the St. Louis jersey, talking about how he's been losing like mad money on all the sports bets he's been making. No, we're not talking about that video. We're talking about something else, something more important.
Humanity stands at this crossroads and there are two doors, right? I like to think of the real Drake single and the fake Drake single, you know, red pill, blue pill. Door number one, door number two. Which door do you want to open first in this conversation?
Which is the red pill? You know, are you really trying to present me with like this actual?
It's just like, that,
actual
like,
dilemma here without giving me enough information.
No, like, I just mean that like we should probably bifurcate the conversation.
This window is not brick, you know. I can get out of here. You know,
about search and rescue, right? Because like that's the right. Actual proper, you know, Drake released a song, and I would say. Pretty good, yeah, right?
Like, it's pretty good, you know? It is...
Good like, late career Drake song.
Good late career Drake song in that you hated it when you first heard it and thought that it was stupid. And then you were like, hold on, is that Kim K in the album art tile? And then you were like, all right, suddenly it's Listen 7 and, you know, oh, okay, this kind of makes sense. And now you probably ran to it once or twice. It's been out for, you know, like a week or two. One of those kind of slow motion marvels that he's just like, you know, kind of tossing up like, you know, hook shots from half court at this point.
Yeah, it's like the best Drake songs, I feel like, at this point in his career are catchy in a way that's not too desperate to be. And that's the thing. It's like you first hear Search and Rescue and you're like, this is low effort. But then you're just sort of like, you tease it apart for a bit. It melts in your mouth like a good short rib, you know, and you're like, oh, actually, no, this is meticulously braised. You know what I mean? There's something about it just falls apart in this good way. That's kind of the best you can hope for from this era of Drake, because I think, I don't know, I think sometimes Drake gets caught between stuff like Search and Rescue and stuff where it almost feels like he's doing the, as much as I like Way Too Sexy, he's doing stuff like that where it's too sweaty, you know? You're just like, this is way too fucking sweaty. I forget where did we as a society and also as a podcast end up on CLB?
Certified Lover Boy. I think that we liked it. We thought it was. It came out in conjunction with, you know, Kanye seizes the Atlanta Mercedes-Benz Superdome, the album.
No, I forgot. Yeah.
Yeah, man. Yeah. That shit was crazy. I know it was hot and musty up under that mask, man. That gets hot in the dome in the summertime. Anyway, yes, that came out in conjunction, or like, you know, not too soon after or before.
Right.
The Kanye album. And it was just like, well, one, it was just more fun by default. You know, because it was fun divorce dad energy.
Yeah. Yeah.
But also, like Way Too Sexy is the sort of Drake song that you love to hate. You know, like it's Laugh to Yourself Good, yes. You know?
Yeah, for sure. For sure. I always thought that about, I think it's on Views, that if you ever, God, listeners, like listeners who really have to like close their eyes and reminisce about how much hype Views had behind it when it came out. And you have no idea how hard I fucking laughed in my room for days when the first song on that album is this like fake Bond theme.
This mafioso big ass number.
And it's just like, what the fuck is this?
Please cast your mind back to, you know, Drake sitting atop the CN Tower and a mink, you know? Snowbanks and Rolls Royce Phantoms bursting through them. And, you know, Drake stepping out of the back in a turtleneck with a cane corso. Like type, you know, album rollout.
Yeah. Like Hype Williams type shit. He opened that shit with some Hype Williams type shit, but crossed with
they
Sam
don't let
Smith.
People do the helicopters to the yachts and the music videos anymore like that, man. Like it's
like, what is this shit?
Like he's like, it's like, oh wow, he's really got money to live this fantasy. And yeah. Like, but then you go back to Keep the Family Close and it's like, it starts to sound like exactly the time in which it was made. And it's also like, man, this is, I remember where I was.
Yeah. And it's like, and again, to your point about loving to hate, it's like, even if you can be like, wow, zero stars, right? It's like a song that's fun to dislike. You know, it's like I've had immense joy just liking that song and being like, how did this get made? I would love to report a 10,000 word oral history.
And trust me,
of this
we're not
one
in
track.
we're not in denial about this being the same thing as liking the song.
For sure. Like, yeah.
I mean,
we know what time it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. But yeah, it's like CLB, I don't know. I like CLB, and yeah, I think you're right. It sort of has like goofier Drake vibes, and I don't know, like Search and Rescue feels like a straight down the middle, like I don't know, Drake has just had like a weird past year, right? Where he's had a weird time since CLB and honestly Never Mind, and then the tape with Savage, right? Like it's been the Savage shit was good, but he still feels kind of like destabilized to me, Drake. Like, is
it's
that
like,
fair?
Well, I mean, like, if you allow for the narrative that honestly Nevermind was the album that he wanted to, like, is his passion project, yeah. And people, like, ragged on it so heavily that, like, he came out with a mixtape of the stuff that they wanted, you know, not too long after.
Yeah. Do we buy that though?
I mean, I like, no, I think that, like, you know, like,
that's how Drake plans his vacations.
I think that the idea is, you know, that, you know, Drake could start hating money at any time, which is, like, I think impossible. But, like, the, sure, like, if you kind of are talking about a person who, I mean, like, what else is, like, what else, what other story is there to tell than, like, man, I just want to rock. Which is what, honestly, Never Vibe was.
Yeah.
Like, this sort of mindless, lilting, trap lilting, pop song is the kind of thing that he is, you know, singular at.
Yeah. For sure. Yes. I feel like, however, like, how long ago did Search and Rescue come out? Like, a couple weeks ago?
Couple weeks.
And then, like, not long into its life cycle, it kind of got stepped on by what lurks behind door number two. And that is the fake Drake song. That is Heart on My Sleeve. Well, at this point, it's that song, and it's a bunch of songs by Robot Drake, and by robot insert favorite rappers, Kanye, Pac, Biggie, whatever. Michael, what do we think about Heart on My Sleeve by not Drake and not The Weeknd, produced by not Metro Boomin?
Like, it's like, it is not too much different to me than those. There was a genre of video TikTok, like, of sub 1,000 play streaming artist makes Lil Baby song. Like, you know, it's very easy to, like, being like, oh yeah, like, you know, I could, this is what a, like, you know, this is what a Trinidad James song sounds like, and I could do what Chief Keef does, and et cetera. This is no different to me. I think it's just sort of like the presentation is slightly different. It sounds, I think that the, like, if you have like the finished product of one of those videos that arrives before you see like the face of the kid making it, and, you know, instantly having some assumptions about what they're about.
Yeah.
You know, what they could be using their time to be doing instead of like tearing down like such and such artists. You know what I mean? Like, you know, you might be, oh, whoa, hold on, what is this? But the sensation to me was that of, you know, like, you hear like a wall reverberating because a song is being played super loudly inside and the doors are closed. And you know what the beat sounds like, and you're just kind of like, huh, okay, what is this?
And you keep
inching closer, and then you're disappointed when you stick your head in. Yeah. And then you just keep walking down the street. That's how I feel about this other Drake song.
That's vivid. That's good. That's really good, actually, yeah. that experience, that feeling went. I don't know. I will say, Heart on My Sleeve, currently suppressed by the big media corporations, Universal Music Group doesn't want you to hear Heart on My Sleeve.
They don't want you to hear truth, brother. You're an intellectual dumbass.
Yeah. And,
no, but listen. Yes, it has been difficult to find Heart on My Sleeve in recent times, since it has been removed from, basically scrubbed from every platform, but keeps, you know, getting re-upped by this and that person on YouTube. It kind of feels like, I think what I said to you off air, that like a portal was open that probably should have stayed closed with this one.
Yeah, I think I think especially because, to your point about it popping back up, it's like, to me, it hasn't even been that. It's like, there's sometimes when something will happen online and it'll get taken down, and it'll pop back up somewhere, right? And it'll you'll realize that like 2 days later, and then that'll get taken down a couple of days later. But this song, when this song started popping up on YouTube, and like UMG was playing Whack-A-Mole, dog. Like there was a whole day I spent, because I ended up writing about it, where I was just like, this is some fucking, this is like all of Paul Dano's henchmen in The Batman, where it's just like, nah, dog, this is this song belongs to the streets now. You know what I mean? It, like, it would pop up every 5 seconds. Like, there's no way that UMG could keep pace with that. Like, the whole day I was listening to like 100 different copies on 100 different links.
But I think that this is like, you know, kind of a pocket experience, because I mean, like, how many, like, I feel like we were just talking about this last week about like stuff that was like, how could anyone deny this? How could anyone keep this back from the world? And, you know, it's just like, it's sit on my mink, you know, like, and, you know, however many years later, it's still just a song on YouTube. Now you can play it. Yeah. At any, you know, like whatever party you show up to at, but like, you know, your phone is going to lock and the song is going to pause, you know, like it's not as if this is a cresting wave over our heads, but it still feels like, you know, wow, it's a talking point now. And we gotta look at it.
Yeah, but it's also that, like, I don't know, as a podcast that opens talking about millennial this, millennial that, right? It's just like, I remember fucking in fucking elementary school when you had the garbage, those old Macs with fucking text speech. And like, oh, I don't know. It's like, I remember a time when like all of my conceptions of what AI was, right? It was like Skynet and fucking, you know, HAL, right? And everything, even the most sort of menacing AI shit you could conceive of, kind of talked in that really clunky robot voice and seemed kind of contrived and just totally swaggerless, right? And so I do think, yeah, I did feel this sense of like you said, a portal has been open, right? Listening to like something successfully, I'm not saying perfectly, right? But successfully, yeah, impersonate Drake. That's just wild to me.
Like, I understand, like, just that that everyone's vision of AI was like offered by Ridley Scott, and like the impending doom of, you know, whichever Skynet, and we're giving up conveniences and we've lost the recipes to survive in the wilderness and gave all that power to robots, etc. But really, like, we are still in like the completely meat circle phase of like AI, by which I mean, like, you know, most of what you hear is people feeding however many publicly available recipes there are for a 3-course dinner into an AI generator, and it spits out a list of, you know, like a viable menu that still sounds like nonsense. It says swamp, beef, and cheese. I know you've seen like this list
yeah,
of things.
Yeah.
Like crock pot cold water. Yeah, like because I mean, if you go one song down that list of like AI Drake songs that came out, it's ass for real. Yeah, like, I mean, like not even close to passable. Now, the monkey still pounded out Shakespeare in this instance, but it still like has the feel of like being AI generated. You know, I think that like there's also people posting pictures of the mashup AI museum thing of like they take this work and that work, or, you know, the completely AI generated span of anime that like was produced, like it was like a 90-second reel that looked really expensive but made no sense. You know, there's this is like the stuff that you're getting now. Now I don't also doubt that, like, you know, Drake might also be like Joe Russo and want to use AI for engineering his storytelling on his next album. Maybe he's going to use AI to get the approximations of, you know, his next 75-second album skit, you know, that leads off, you know, the next thing, you know?
This episode is brought to you by Vuori. I love sports. I know you do too. I also know that lots of you exercise, but if you're like me and my wife, the beloved sports gal, you're sick and tired of ugly, uncomfortable workout gear, especially, you know, I do a lot of walking. I walk around LA. I make calls. I listen to podcasts. Here are two words that will change everything. Vuori clothing, a line of activewear that is unbelievable. The best thing about Vuori is you can lounge around in it. You can work out in it. You can go outside. You can go shopping down in your local wherever. And you never feel like you're either underdressed or overdressed. You're just comfortable. You can wear it when you're training, traveling, lounging around the house. Go get yourself some of the most comfortable and versatile clothing on the planet. Here's the deal. Our listeners get 20% off their first purchase at Vuori.com/Simmons. Once again, Vuori.com/Simmons.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. You might say all kinds of stuff when things go wrong, but these are the words you really need to remember. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. They've got options to fit your unique insurance needs, meaning you can talk to your agent to choose the coverage you need, have coverage options to protect the things you value most, file a claim right on the State Farm mobile app, and even reach a real person when you need to talk to someone. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Yeah, it's like, I was articulating this to Micah listeners before taping, but it's sort of like, it's not about, at least for now, right? It's not really about the idea of AI replacing Drake. It's kind of more about the idea of AI replacing Quentin Miller, right? It's sort of like that, right? Like, you still need Drake, right? You still need the boy. You still need the boy to, like, sprinkle the Salt Bae stuff that makes a Drake song a Drake song, but sort of instead, you know what I mean? You can kind of imagine, like, I sometimes, when I use ChatGPT, right, like, I do kind of use it in this writing assistant capacity sometimes, because it frankly is just, like, a lot easier to use at this point than sort of a conventional search engine for certain questions I have about some shit, or like, hey, spit out this list of something, right? Like, they're definitely ways I find AI helpful in this totally supplementary role. But kind of to your point about, it still spits out garbage 9 times out of 10, and maybe even 99 times out of 100. It's like, I at least think, maybe this is in addition to your point about being in the meat phase, right? It's also in this phase where maybe the most interesting thing you could do with it is make a subgenre, you know? It's kind of like in the hyperpop phase, right? Where it's like a bunch of people, a bunch of producers slash programmers are going to tinker around with it and do some genre noodling, and it's going to be kind of a meme and kind of a serious, like, electronic music endeavor of some sort, you know, taking some form. But yeah, you're right. It's like, I feel like I'm in this space of simultaneously being impressed with the rate of the improvement of this kind of technology, but also still not being able to wrap my head around, like, what is the peak capacity of this? And is it good or bad? Right? Like, and I also don't know how to think about whether there are value judgments in it, right? Like, I think there's something implied by the song that everyone's talking about being a Drake song, right? And there being this implied sense of, like, that's how garbage Drake is, that a robot can impersonate him, you know? Like, I don't know how to tackle that, right? Because I had this thought when I first heard that song of, like, yo, call me when the fucking robot can make a Prince song. You know what I mean? Like, I did have that sense of, like, not to be condescending to Drake, but there is a kind of,
I think, formulaic, that the impetus of, I think that, like, that's exactly like I was describing before, that, like, a lot of this seems to target hip hop specifically.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which I don't really, like, I mean, like, I don't know what to feel about, I don't know how to feel about it other than offended, but it's, yeah, like, I don't know where specifically that like that feeling of being offended is coming from other than, like, you know, have we made an attempt at like trying to make a like a Prince or like a Bob Dylan song or some shit? Like, you know, like, why don't we, you know, make a Paul McCartney song with that or whatever?
Or even
know?
Taylor. Like, go make some Taylor songs.
Go make a Taylor record or like, you know, or a Boy Genius one. Like, it's just like, it's always a Drake record or a Lil Baby record or, you know, or, you know, Lil Durk, or look how easy it is to do what Young Thug does, or, you know what I mean? I like, yeah. And I think that, like, as a rap aficionado, and being able to immediately tell, like, once I actually start listening to what the AI Drake record is versus like another Drake, like a Drake record that I know is mid right next to it.
Yeah.
Is still better than the AI song to me.
Sure. Yeah.
You know? Like, because there are all the finer differences in it. Like, I don't know why it's specifically being used for this, why it, you know, like these, like, people seem to think that rap is so formulaic as to be whatever, but that's also a question that has roots deeper and older, much older than this conversation that we're having right now.
For sure. And I do think, to your point, yeah, there's a way that listening to certainly the non-Hard on My Sleeve records and even Hard on My Sleeve, it does kind of throw into relief the stuff that Drake is uniquely good at, you know, and that the robot isn't, you know? And so it's kind of reassuring. Like, there's a flip side of it that is reassuring, right? When you listen to, and also I'd say the same kind of about the Weeknd part on Hard on My Sleeve, where it's just like, it's actually like Alyssa, our colleague Alyssa, pointed this out to me, that like, listen to how the AI goes for the high notes. And Alyssa was like, yeah, no, the actual Weeknd is like way more confident. He goes for like those little sort of, you know what I mean? Like those light high notes, you know? And it's like, yeah, there is a sense of, you can sort of call like post-trap hip hop like overprocessed all you want, but there is a sense of performance and a sense of like, idiosyncrasy that like Drake or The Weeknd or certainly fucking Young Thug bring to music. But it is this, like, it does feel uncomfortable. It feels like it's going to get uncomfortable really quickly, especially once more people start doing, you know, let's fucking make an AI Bob Dylan song or, you know, a Boy Genius record. I don't know. But yeah, there's like part of me does find myself trying to resist what you call the doom scrolling thing. Because I want to think, like, I want to be naive. I don't want to just assume that the endpoint is Skynet. What if the endpoint is fucking cool or like is mostly harmless? You know what I mean? I want the right to be naive about this until proven otherwise. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean... I mean, all that said, I also don't think it's a huge deal if I get duped by a photo of, like, you know, the Pope in a puffer coat.
Like, I like, you would hold that coat though.
Yeah, like, it's just kind of like, oh, you're like, and similarly, it didn't change my day at all when I saw it. You know, I think. I'm such an aesthete that I love beautiful things so much that like, I'm like, it's just like, you know, I am pretty discerning when it comes to that's, you know, like that's some fake shit. And when somebody gets one by me, I'm not like, you know, I don't take it as a personal affront or think that it's the end of the world. Like, it's just because it's still like, once you do the double take, it's like, oh, wait, this is what it is. Time to go back to what I was doing.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Well, yeah, it's also, I think, though, that distinction of like attitude about it and outlook about it is kind of how I feel like a lot of that is contingent on how good you are at kind of like being offline, you know, because I feel like people who do just live on the internet, especially I think younger people, right, like if you just live on the internet, like, I don't know. It would be hard for me to really put myself in the shoes of somebody who's like, let's say fucking 10 now, right? And it's like, oh, the internet they're going to grow up on is going to be an
Jay-Z,
internet where,
you know, rap that Ice Spice verse.
Like, yeah. You know, like, what I mean?
I mean,
it's, to your point about discernment, though, right? It's like, on the one hand, you, on all the terms you just laid out, right? Because you, it feels like you could either be more discerning than that 10-year-old will grow up to be, or less discerning, right? Like, I don't know whether they expect that the 10-year-old is going to grow up, and because they grow up in this era where nothing is real and everything is fake, kind of until proven otherwise, makes them more discerning, or just makes it so that they don't have that sort of discernment that you have, you know? I don't know which way it's going to go.
Yeah, I think, you know, I think I choose to believe that, like, they're just going to be media literate earlier than any of us were. Like, because, I mean, I'm going to be honest, like, I mean, when you first heard that, like, the running edit, like the mashup with both Tupac and Biggie and Eminem rapping on it, did you think that they were all alive at the same time, like, or that, like, you know, did you think about it or whatever?
I did think about it for sure, right? Yeah, for sure.
Because, like, there was definitely, because, I mean, like, we all listened, we like burned the hell out of that song, like, on every CD you could, like, you know, but I don't think that that warped my understanding of, my eventual understanding of, like, hip hop as it happened, you know?
Right.
Like,
I knew you were listening to something fake.
I knew I was listening to something fake, but I was just like, this fake thing sounds pretty awesome. Right. Yeah. Like, and I think that that's also, there's also room for that. Like, there is probably an element of, like, you know, the I think that we, a couple years back, we were having, like, the slowed and reverb discussion of, like, you know, this is I know that there is a genre of music that does this already and did it, and that there's a whole history about, like, the way that music moved around in an entire region behind it, and how, like, you know, music is distributed today was influenced by it. But, you know, like, this little slowed and reverb edit of this weekend song is actually pretty good. You know, I might put it on while I'm cooking. You know what I mean? Like, there is, I think, room for all of that.
Yeah.
And I think that probably because I, like, believe in my own ability to do that, I think I believe in a 10-year-old's ability to be discerning about it. Just because of, like, you know, he probably will have been on the internet way longer than I was at that point, you know?
And to take your example with running, right? It's like, not, I mean, if you take all the other posthumous Tupac stuff, right? It's not like the sort of popularity of that stuff when we were younger was anchored in some sort of misapprehension of its authenticity or its provenance, right? Like, you knew you were listening to some fucking posthumous bootleg, right?
Yeah, I mean, but also, like, there was, I mean, it wasn't just you also. Like, there was, like, you have, it's not just the, like, the 10-year-old in a vacuum having to figure this out. Of it. Like, there's there's people, like, I assume that there's people around being like, you know, like, it's, you know, he's like, dead. we'll put this on, you know, mom or daddy's playlist in the car. But, like, I'm going to tell you, you know, that that there's actually somebody that makes this. I got to imagine, you know, that, you know, parents, somebody in that kid's life is pedantic enough to explain to them.
Yeah, for sure.
That's that, you know what I mean? Like, they'll get the context somewhere.
Yeah,
for sure. I gotta believe that.
But that, all of that, I think, is in service of the point that I don't think a robot is putting Drake out of a job anytime soon. Because I think, as convincing or not, as hard on my sleeve is, right? It's not as good as Search and Rescue, right? Like, that's kind of really the main thing, right? Is that we have a new Drake single out in the world, and we have a fake Drake single out in the world. And as much as people want to get the jokes off about sort of, like, you know, how convincing the fake Drake thing is, it's like, yeah, it's not really, though. Like, I played fucking Heart on My Sleeve 100 times out of morbid fascination. I've listened to Search and Rescue as much as I have because it's an actually kind of catchy Drake song. You know what I mean? Like, they're still different in kind. You know?
Yeah. 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 I mean, yeah, I still don't know that, I just can't imagine that this AI song is making like the crossover into real life, so to speak. You know what I mean? Like, because I mean, I know that you've been to a place where a DJ, like, as a joke, has dropped like a Beam song in the set.
For sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you know, everybody loves it, but it came from a real organic place. Somebody like, you know, mashed this shit up and made a song out of like these disparate sounds. And it's actually its own form of song making, like, you know, the greens, potatoes, yams thing.
Yeah. Yes.
Like, and I just don't imagine this being received in the same way. You know, like, I think that everybody has like I want to believe that everybody has like is approaching it dubiously, like, you know, wait a minute, what is this? You know? And that's your response to it every time. It's sort of like the Uncanny Valley thing of, like, you know, a dude that played Governor Tarkin has been dead for you know, 20 years. It doesn't help that, you know, like, it doesn't help that you only see him in a reflection in the glass. It doesn't ease the queasy feelings in your stomach. I feel like the same thing with, like, you know, Heart on My Sleeve.
Yeah, for sure. I don't know. I feel like we solved this existential angst, at least for now, right? Like,
yeah, for now. We have stemmed the tide with a frayed aux cord.
Wait, I will say, I didn't listen to any of the Young Thug AI. So is any of it convincing?
Oh, no. I just said that one because I was wrong. You know how it is when I start to preach. But the thing is, I think it was an AI future record. And I think I was as upset about that. Like, listeners. And you know, knowing how we both feel about Future, that's, come on, you know what I mean? Just like, manners, people, like, you know, have some respect, you people doing this, these AI things.
Hackers, you coders. Yeah, I think, okay, I think that we've resolved the future of AI and hip hop and other music. I think that's all we got this week. Listeners, this week, I'm going to especially ask that, I mean, email us with questions, email us with anything, but also email us your favorite AI music, your favorite AI.
Oh my God.
And it doesn't have to just be, like, I actually am curious about this.
No. Don't email us AI music. I mean, like, AI thing.
Go ahead, sure.
AI thing. You know, because if it's AI music and we get a bunch of AI rap songs in the box, like, I'm gonna be upset.
That's fair.
Like, so just, you know,
and
AI,
it has to be interesting if you can email it. Don't just some bullshit you saw on Twitter. Just not like, come on, now. Put some effort.
I mean, some stuff that made you like think about the Turing test. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
exactly. That Neal Stephenson shit. Just get it in there if it's actually sort of, you know what I mean? Like, put it in the email, bro. soundonlypod@gmail.com. That's all we got this week. I'm Justin Charity.
And I'm Micah Peters.
Shouts out, as always, to our producer, Stefan Anderson. We'll see y'all next week.